Okay, we're picking up the Gemara Lamed Hey Amud Beis. We're 4 lines from the bottom. Was Nitla Pitmasa. So the Mishnah told us if the Pitam was removed, that would passel the Esrog. So now the Gemara quotes a Brisa, which is going to be vague and be machlokas for showing what exactly this Brisa means, but we'll discuss it in a moment. Tana Reb Yitzchak ben Elazar. Reb Yitzchak ben Elazar said Nitla Buchnasai. That if the Buchnasai is a type of grinder was removed, if it looked like that, that is going to be a problem. So Lechora Rashi quotes first from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov. He says that this is referring to the pitum, which has a stem-like coming at the top of the esrog, and that is referencing that looks like a grinder, so that pitum is going to be that area. Then you also have the area called the shushanta. That area is the round bud on the top, that's called shushanta, and the base of the pitum without its bud is called the dad, the nipple of the esrog. And that pointed part, that looks like a grinded part, so he's adding in, Rabbi Lazar is telling us that the esrog is possible only if the base of the pitum is missing, but not just simply if the bud, the very, very top of the little pit part of the bud, is missing. That's according to Rashi's first interpretation. Rashi then quotes on a second interpretation that he's quoting based on the fact that maybe you're talking about the way that it grows. The Mishnah mentions the pitum is not referring to the top of the esrog, but rather referring to the stem at the bottom of the esrog, the way that it's growing on the bottom. The bottom of the esrog is not rounded, it has a small area in the bottom, it grows out of this hole. So the inner part of the esrog stem is coming out of this hole, that's referring to it. So the Mishnah told us explicitly, though, that the oketz, which seemingly is on the bottom of the esrog, it tells you that that's not puzzled. So that part of the stem is in the hole at the bottom of the esrog. The Mishnah is referring to the pitum, which is a further layer, further out from that, and that would be chaser. So that would be what I was referring to here. Rashi quotes that in the name of Yitzchak Halevi. So Rashi then comes on to disagree with that interpretation. He thinks the pitum is the way we understand it in the first. There's another other Rishon in the Rif, Rambam, they explain that Rabbi Elazar ben Yitzchak isn't coming to discuss the Mishnah at all. He's just teaching another psul, saying in addition to the pitum, which obviously is a part of the top that's pasul and it looks like that, the pitum on the bottom, the area on the bottom, is also going to be a psul. That if it's removed completely on the bottom, that's going to be a major issue. So it's not going to be further removed than the oketz. I once had this shaila. The year I had mamish, the nicest esrog I ever found. I was so excited about it on the first day. During, I don't know how I didn't see this when I made the bracha, but I made the bracha. And during halal, all of a sudden I noticed that the bottom of the esrog, the whole bottom, is missing. So lechora, I'm assuming, the rav I asked told me that it was basal, and so I used a different one for halal, it's the first day, I had to do matana manas nahachzir. I had to do matana manas nahachzir and then make a bracha. I'm assuming that the part that was missing also would be included in this pitum, that the whole bottom was mamash missing, so it's chaser, so that would be an issue. So that's what the lechora was. It was very sad, obviously, but everything was shemayim. That's also okay. So anyway, so that's the issue of nitla b'nuchnasa and the machlokas. Again, the noisa of the Shulchan Aruch is machmir that even if the bottom area, if it completely falls out the area that these rishonim are calling the pitum on the bottom, that area would be possible. Niklav. So if the esrog was peeled, so the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava says, Hai esrog de iglid ki aina smuka ksherath. If esrog was peeled and it came discolored, it looked like a reddish date, it's going to be kosher. So Rashi says that the fact that they removed the outer layer, so it turned like a reddish color. So usually when you peel fruits, it'll start being discolored. So this none of the inner part was the inner part was missing. Otherwise, the esrog would be chaser. It's not really mamish missing, but it turned a little bit of a color. That is not going to be a problem. So the Gemara says vadan tna niklaf pasul. But we said that if it's peeled, it's going to be pasul, right? The Mishnah said that it's going to be pasul. It's going to be a problem. So the Gemara says look, kasha, turning on the next time. Now ha bechula ha b'mik. Says Rashi points out when it's where in a case where the entire esrog was peeled, then it's going to be kasher. However, if it's partially peeled, then Rashi says psul de menumarhu. Then it's going to look like it's spotted and it's not nice, and that's a problem of not being hadar. And that's what Rashi mentions before that it's going to be a problem. That's how Rashi understands it. The machlokas we've shown, others disagree with Rashi. We'll just go with Rashi's interpretation. The Gemara continues nistak and nikav. If the esrog was split or it had a hole through it and is missing a portion of it, that's going to be puzzle. So if it had a hole in it and it wasn't missing a small amount, the Mishnah said that it was going to be kosher. So now the Gemara quotes a braisa. Tani Ula Bar Chanina. Ula Bar Chanina said on this inyan nikev nekev mefulash. If the esrog had a hole through it that goes entirely mefulash, right? Remember mavay mefulash, that an open mavay that goes through the whole thing. That's a shaila exactly. Rashi understands that the whole pattern passes from the one side of the esrog to the other. If you have a picture, it's a little helpful. Tosos assumed that no, you don't have to go through one side to the other side. It just has to go to the core where the seeds are. the hole goes through the core of the esrog, it's already going to be considered for this purpose mefulesh. It's considered as going entirely through, and that's going to be a problem. So that's machlokas Rashi. Does if it mamish means it go through or not? But mash, however, if it's only going through a tiny drop, it's going to be also going to be possible v'sheinu mefulesh. And if it's not, the hole doesn't go through entirely through. Bicha iser. Okay, again, nikav nikav mefulesh b'mash. Then it's going to be possible. Sorry, if the hole goes through the whole thing, then it's going to be possible if the hole, the size of the hole itself, is going to be mamash any size v'sheinu mefulesh. However, if this hole doesn't go through the entire thing, then you get a bigger shear. It's not just, it could be a mishu like the size of a macha, like a tiny little needle go through one end to the other, that's going to pass on. However, if it doesn't go through the entire esrog, again, my focus rash does is how far that has to go, what's considered going entirely through, then still it's going to be bich iser. It's going to be pasul only when it's larger than iser. You're going to get a bigger shear from here. So that's referring to over here that we're assuming that's not going to be, if it doesn't go through, the esrog is going to be pasul. If it's a bigger shear of an iser, you get a bigger shear. So that in the Gemara, that's the size of a coin. So the Gemara says, "By Rava." So Rava asked the question: "Noldub esrog simana treifa mau?" If the signs of a treifa come about on an esrog, we know that halachas treifa tells us that the meat of a treifa animal is pasul, and the Mishnah tells us that there's 18 specific treifos that the Mishnah Chulin delineates and tells us what they are. So Rava's wondering if you have a similar defect similar to that of a treifa, is that going to pasul on esrog? The Gemara wonders what exactly was Rava wondering about. Mai kamei baile? What exactly was Rava asking? In niklef tanina, if it's talking about being peeled, so he learned in the Mishnah with the status of being peeled. So right, that's going to be that. That's similar. We mentioned the animal being peeled. It's a shaila the kula miksasa about this, the case of when it's niklaf. So the Gemara says. But that can't be what Rav was wondering about. We discussed that already in the Beferish Mishnah. So Gemara says inistak tanina. Also in the case of it split open, that's also similar being nistaka, similar to a treifa. And Rashi points out that's going to be similar when you have going through entire length, and it matters where the skin is exactly what's going on with regards to hilchos treifas over there. So then that's also pasha based on the Mishnah whether or not it goes through or not. If it's mufulash or doesn't go through it or not, that's clearly in the Mishnah as well. So inikav tanina. So that if it's a case where again if inistak tanina, inikav tanina, both cases of whether it is open or it is punctured or it's slit through, that is already discussed with refers to the Mishnah. It can't be that Rava was wondering that. So what exactly was Rava Shaila? So the Gemara says, so it must be that Rava was wondering about the following. Kidu'ula, Rava was wondering about Kidu'ula Mar B'Yochanan. Rabu'ula and the B'Yochanan, what do you say? If you have a Reya Shanishbecha Kikiton Kshira, if you have a lung, we pour it out like a pitcher of water, it's going to be kosher. It's not going to be a treifa. The lung, Rashi points out, that you have part of the flesh along the lung. If you have a picture, it's a little bit helpful, but I honestly have a picture. It doesn't really help clarify that much. But apparently, if you have part of the flesh of the outer membrane, it's going to remain there, the animal is not going to be a treifa, even though it did become very, Rashi says, it's very moist, very liquidy, that the lung is turned over, it's going to go from one to the other. Still, that's not considered a treifa. So to that question, in a parallel of our sugya of Yamar Rav, with regards to esrog, that's what question one. So this is going to be a case where you have over there the flesh is going to be there. So the Gemara says, "High lakoy me simpona treifa." But if these tubes that are not there, the animal is going to be a treif. So we see that the missing part of the inner part of a lung can be a sign of a treifa, and depending on the simanim of the simpona of the tubes, the tubes of the animals. The Gemara says, "Hachamai." So with regards to an esrog, what's going to be the lacha when the flesh is removed, but the inner parts are there, and they have the seeds and they're intact? Is that going to be a problem of an esrog over here? We're saying that the seeds are still closed in small pockets. Rava's wondering to a case where the outer side of the outer side of the esrog, the seeds are still there, but a lot of the flesh of the esrog is not there right now. So that's similar to the case of the case where you have the lung that the flesh is removed, but the tubes are still there. So the Gemara says, Dilma hasam dilashay be'avira. So there, the case of a lung where the outer part doesn't matter, the lung is enclosed within the body, hadar birya. So there, then it's going to end up coming back, and if it comes back, it's enclosed in the body, it's protected by the body of the animal. So therefore, it's not going to make it something a treif. However, here, hacha dishali be'avira. Here, if the open area is open and exposed, so then sruchim misracha. What's going to happen is the esrog is eventually going to rot. If the esrog eventually is going to rot, then it's going to be a psul. And even right now, where it hasn't rotten yet, since it can't come back, it's still going to be considered a chaser. So we're sort of missing something. And even though right now it's actually not rotted yet, it's still a problem. Odilma loshna. Maybe there's no difference between an esrog and a lung. And just like a lung is kasher, since the flesh of an esrog can come back somewhat and core is intact, the esrog is going to be kasher, just like the case of a treifa. So the Gemara answers Tashma. We can bring a proof from the Brisa. So the Brisa says esrog tapuach saruach. If an esrog that was decayed or rotted, so the Gemara is going to ask what's the difference between saruach and saruach Tapuach and Saruach, the Gemara's going to get to that. Kavuch or Shalak, if it's pickled, if it was just put even, if it put in vinegar or something like that, that's usually called Kavuch or Shalak, or even if you put something, I think even in water for 24 hours, the poskim are going to be machmir, to assume that that's a Shaila, yeah, in Shabrua, is going to be machmir. Even if you put it in water for 24 hours, we're machmir to assume that that's also an issue. I don't think anyone really does that. Or Shalak, if you're cooked the Esrog, so that it has to be thoroughly cooked. It was Shaila, one of those Blizzatine's Parsha things where he has the fascinating Shailas. I remember once someone, his Eshok was a little bit green, and then he asked the Storner, is there any way to make it more yellow before Yantav? He liked the Eshok a lot, he wanted to make it more yellow. And then I forgot, I think the Storner was a joke, told him to put it in the microwave. The guy didn't even know what a microwave was. So he gave it to his neighbor to actually put it in the microwave. So it's a Shaila of Choshen Mishpat, he wanted to get his money back because the guy gave him a bad Eitza, or the guy put it in the microwave. So someone will have a Nezek. Okay, by the way, that's Lechora, even if it got completely messed up. But even if it didn't, though, Lechora, if you assume microwave is cooking, okay, whatever. That'd be a Shaila, whether or not that's a psul. So Kushi Lavanim Numar. If you have an Ethiopian esrog, or if it's too white or spotted, those are all psulim. Esrog, we're going to analyze the Ethiopian one. Esrog, kikadar pasul. Esrog is round, completely like a ball. Since it doesn't look like an esrog, that is going to be pasul as well. And some say even a double esrog. If you have two like esrogs coming out of one, you'll see. If you ever see an esrog tree, actually, there used to be an esrog tree, and they took down the esrog tree. But then Shari Chaz used to have an esrog tree. It's actually interesting to see all these different types of, all the ones I mentioned in this Mishnah, they grow like that. They have all these different types. So then all these different types, the double twin esrog, that's going to be possible. Esrog ha boser. Boser is usually a term that's describing a grape at an earlier stage. So here too, also, that we're referenced to an esrog of this size. That's how Rashi understands it. Tosas bothered by, what do you mean, the issue of this size? We already had a machlokas in the Mishnah. The minimum shear is either an egos or a beitza. It's either a walnut or an egg. It seems weird that the Braisa would be discussing a third sheet that didn't mention in the Braisa. But those will explain, the issue is not of size, rather it's ripeness. An esrog of the stage of a boser, whose degree of development can be compared to a grape the size of a boser, that's what we're discussing over here. We're discussing a much earlier stage. Since you're taking it out, we're discussing, is that in the category of a pre? Is that still a pre or not? So that's what Tosas explained the machlokas is esrog of boser. Rabbi Kiva, posher, Rabbi Kiva considers it pasul, v'chachamim makshirin, v'chachamim say that it's going to be kasher. Gidlo bitfus v'also kumin beria acheres. If someone grew an esrog and you put it in a mold and you've shaped it with that mold, so then it looks like a completely different thing. It doesn't look like an esrog at all. You could just shape it completely different. So then it doesn't look like an esrog. Then it's going to be pasul. Then it's going to be invalid. Katani mia tapuach sarel. So then why we bring this whole brisa? A very interesting dinim in this brisa. But what do we see with this brisa though? That we see an esrog is going to be pasul if it decayed or rotted. So the Gemara says, why my love tapuach mevachutz sarel? So what's the difference between the two? So the Gemara says lechora, when it says decayed, that means it's from the outside, and rotted means that it's coming out from the inside. So that would imply over here that the pockets are still intact. So that's what we're assuming over here. So we see that an esrog, that the flesh has been removed, is still going to be pasul. That's clearly from the brisa. The Gemara says, no, you don't have to explain the brisa that way. Lo, idiv bidim mechutz, both the decayed and the rotted one are going to be from the outside. So then what's the difference between the kalasha, hadatavach al-gav de lo sarach? The one that decayed, what it means is that the esrog is pasul where it decayed, even though it didn't actually start rotting yet. Hadisarach al gav tapach, and the one that's rotted, it started to rot even though it didn't start decaying. And tapuach means that it refers to a case where the esrog became wet after it became detached from the tree. And saruach, as Rashi explains, it means that a case where it was just a regular case of what we would call decaying, that's the understanding of the first, so therefore you don't have a raya for Rava's suffix. Okay, so now the Gemara continues. The Gemara analyzes the Braisa. Amar, the Braisa said that esrog kushi pasul. Esrog of Ethiopia, we're assuming that means Ethiopia. That's not so pasul, but we'll go with that. That kushi means Ethiopia. So then an Ethiopian esrog is pasul. Ratanya, the Braisa tells us kushi kasher, that Ethiopian esrog is going to be kasher. Dome le kushi pasul, but where it's similar to an Ethiopian, it's going to be pasul. So the Braisa ruled that an esrog which actually grew in Ethiopia is going to be kasher, despite the fact that it looks pretty black, because that's the natural color of esrog. Rav Moshe pointed out in the yesterday's daf that lechor we see that how much a hashpav an area that's of an area that when it grows in a certain area they look different. They look like the neighboring things that look around them. So it's a kav lechor person, and a person the area that he's in will have a tremendous influence on him. So either way. So the Gemara says if it's kushi, it's kasher, and dome le kushi is going to be pasul. Where if it looks like a kushi, it's going to be if it's in an area which generally is an area that it grows whiter, and this is a darker one, that's going to be pasul. So the Gemara says, how do we answer the price of the stira whether it's kasher or not? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye ki tanan masnis, and when we learned in our Mishnah that an Ethiopian esrog is going to be pasul, dome le kushi tanan. We're talking about an esrog that looked like an Ethiopian esrog, but it was not not one from actually Ethiopia. Rav Amar, so that's Abaye's answer. Rav Amar lo kasher, no, there's no not a problem. Halan, the latter brisa applies to us, those who live in Babel, Bahalahu, whereas the Mishnah and the brisa that applies to that, that's going to be those who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah means that we're talking about an Ethiopian Esrog is going to be Pasul. So that ruling applies in Eretz Yisrael, where people would never have Ethiopian Esrogim, apparently, because Rashi explains, because the distance between the two of them is further. So that's a little bit problematic, though, because Babel is actually further than Eretz Yisrael to Ethiopia. Rav Moshe points this out, and he quotes Rav Shach, who asked this question as well. Rav Moshe answered that in his Chiddushim, I think Rav Shach says Beferes also, so, but I guess he just quoted Rav Shach. But Rav Moshe answers that also that even though Eretz Yisrael is physically closer to Ethiopia on the map, but still because they would be able to the Shayaras, they would have more ships going back and forth. If you go through the sea route, it would actually be quicker to go through Babel, and there actually would be trade between Babel and Ethiopia. So that was something that was more common for them to have the Esrogim from Ethiopia in Babel, as opposed to Eretz Yisrael, where even though it was closer, they never saw them. So in Eretz Yisrael, it would be puzzle. In Babel, it would be kosher because it was more common. So the Gemara now quotes Esrog Aboser Bikiva Posav Achachamim Machshir, that when it comes to an Esrog at the earliest stage of Boser, Rabbi Kiva says it's going to be puzzle. Rabbi Chachamim says that it's going to be kosher. Amar Rabbi says in this context, Rabbi Kiva Rishimon Amru Davar Echad. Usually, whenever we say Amru Davar Echad, usually we do it with the multiple Tanaim. The Gaonim have a Masora that we never pass in Alasa Kishita, because we're trying to, like, the way Rosh Hashanah describes it, is we're trying to, like, get who holds to that strange Shita in Shas, and they'll try to grab together four or five Amoraim, or four or five Tanaim, or sometimes I think we do it with the Amoraim also, and we'll try to see who holds like that, and then we'll assume that we don't hold like that. So what's the Shita over here? Rabbi Kiva Hadam, Rabbi Kiva says that which we just said, that an Esrog is not considered a fruit before it's completely ripened when it's in the stage of Boser. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, Mahi, what's the case of Rabbi Shimon? This really, the sign is really a Mishnah. This sign should be in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon poters Esrogim b'ktonasan. Rabbi Shimon exempts, if you take, when it comes to Meiser, we know that Meiser has to come from a fruit, and Esrogim that are in the earlier stage, when they're very small, according to the Tanakhama, that as soon as you pick the Esrogim from the tree, they're going to be even though they're not the full size, they're still going to be chayv in Meiser. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he holds that the Esrog is considered incomplete until it grows to its full size, and therefore, he seems to agree with Rabbi Kiva that it's not considered a fruit yet, le'inyan Meiser, just like it wouldn't be a fruit, le'inyan sukkah as well, in the halach of dal minim with regards to biyot and the lulav. The Gemara says maybe you don't have to assume that these two tanaim are the same. Amalei Abaye, but he says no. Dimalowi, maybe you can assume that Abaye doesn't have to agree with that Rabbi Kiva doesn't have to agree with Rabbi Shimon, and vice versa. Adkan lo kamar Rabbi Kiva hachag, or the case of Rabbi Kiva with regards to an esrog being puzzle is a different reason. Deva'in and hadav aleika. It's not because it's fundamentally not a fruit, rather it's because it's at the Boser stage and there it's not beautiful. But there, regarding when it comes to the Hilchos Meiser, he's going to agree with the Rabbanan that even the Boser stage of an Esrog is going to be considered enough to assume that it's a fruit, and that since it's a fruit, it's going to be kosher. Moshe just asked a question we're going to see on Amud Beis, that the Chachamim Pasel in Esrog HaGadol. So that's a problem of Hiddur. So why over here would the Rabbanan say that something's at an earlier stage also not a problem of Hiddur? So Moshe explains that if something is taken off at an earlier stage, it's still kosher because it's still considered, it's still considered something that's fine. It's still something that will grow. However, something that just grows in a very abnormal shape, that's something that's fundamentally puzzle, and that's why it's a problem. So the Gemara says, Inami, so, or you can explain the other way, Adkan lokam Rabbi Shimon hasam, Ayla dechsev aser taserek vazarecha. Rabbi Shimon says specific regards to Meiser, that the Boser stage is going to be possible, because it specifically says, aser taser, any tvazarecha, anything that you're planting, which implies, kiderech shemne adam motzim lezer, how do people generally plant when they take out the produce when it's sufficiently developed? That's when they're going to take out the plants. And if you do anything at an earlier stage, you're not going to be chayav in Meiser. Aval hacha, kirabanat sfirle, whereas over here, with regards to lacha dalad minim, he's going to agree with the Rabbanan that even the Boser stage of an Esrog is going to be kasher. So we've just rejected the comparison that Rabbi Kiva and Shimon don't have to be similar. So the Gemara turns on to Amud Beis. Now the Gemara says Visu Lo Midi, and therefore there's nothing else to discuss. There's no relationship between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon, and Abaye seems to be standing that's a valid point. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva don't hold the same sheet with regards to Meiser and regards to Telchas Dalabinim. They could be two different halachas. So now the next part of the Raisa Kavodos give lo bitfus v'asav kamin biria acharis pasul. Someone grew the Esrog in a mold and it didn't look like the type, even it could be a nice way of looking, but it doesn't look the way that an Esrog normally looks. It's going to be pasul. Amar Rava lo shana lo kamin biria acharis. Well, actually, I got ahead of myself. The Gemara is going to mention. The Gemara says that only if it looks like a different creature, meaning it doesn't look like an Esrog. Aval kibriyasa kasha. If you mold it in the shape of an Esrog, that's going to be kasha. So that's where Moshe points out over here that when you the way that you make something, that the beautiful way that it's supposed to be made is the way Hashem created it. And he quotes the pasuk with the Gemara's drasha, "Ain't sor kelokinu," that Chana, when she was asking for, and she was praising Hashem for a child, "Ain't sayar kelokinu," that you're the master painter. Everything you build is what's the nicest thing? You don't have to go to a museum to see paint and an art. The nicest art is the world, Hashem's world. Go look at nature. Go look at beautiful mountains. Go look at beautiful valleys and streams. That's the nicest paintings in the world. So that's what the message that Moshe is developing and that Rav is telling us, that the most beautiful thing is the way Hashem created it. So the verse is, that's obvious. Kamin b'riacheres tanya, that anything that looks different is going to be, that's pashut in the brisa. So why does Rav have to explain it? The verse is, where you make it with the way Rashi describes it, as many planks. Rav is talking about a mold caused by the esrog to grow in the shape of like a water wheel, Rashi describes it, coming from the central core. Rav is telling us that this is called the normal form of an esrog. That's the chiddush of Rav. Okay? And that's what Rava is teaching us. Now, Vaitar in the Gemara Itmar, we learn in the case of the Braisa, Esrog Shinikvu Achbar. No, sorry, this is another halacha that we mentioned, the Esrog Shinikvu Achbar. There was an Esrog that was punctured by mice, so they ate it, and there's a small hole now, so that doesn't look so nice. The Gemara says, Amarav in Ze Hadar. That is not beautiful, and therefore it's going to be Pasal. The Esrog is going to be Lechor al Chasr also, but Rav is assuming that it's Pasal because it's not Hadar. So the Gemara is going to wonder why Rav mentioned this. So the Gemara says, "Eini, wait a second, is that really true though? Baha, Rabbi Chanina, matbil beit v'nafik beit. Rabbi Chanina used to eat his esrog, he used to dip it into like a dip, and he would eat part of it and be yotze his mitzvah of esrog after eating it." So there's a few problems with this. The first is that he would still make mevarach on it. So then clearly it couldn't be that it's a problem of hider. Well, if it's a problem of chaser, we know lekachtem tam. Lekicha tama tells us. Well, the Gemara is going to, actually, we'll get to that in a moment. I'll get to the drasha of the Gemara in a moment. But we see from over here that he ate it. The question the Rishonim are all bothered by is, how is Rabbi Chanina able to eat it? The Chor, there's a concept that something is hooked to mitzvah, so that it's for the mitzvah, it's set aside for the mitzvah, and you're not allowed to eat it. So it comes mukta other than for the purpose of using it. So the Ran and the Rishon want to answer, but Chanina didn't eat the esrog, that he as in it for the mitzvah, rather he's eating a different esrog. But Moshe just bothered by her. Moshe has a different question. Moshe asks, what do you mean? How did he eat the esrog that he was using? That's not a way to treat a mitzvah, meaning in a chanami it might be kosher, as we're going to see. It might be kosher to use it on the next days, but definitely not like achila. That's how you should use your esrog, for sure not. And it's not bekavo to do that. So Rav Moshe says that maybe lechora he actually had two esrogim. This is similar to the Rishon, but this way he says the opposite though. He thought he had two esrogim. He actually didn't have two esrogim. He thought he had two esrogim, and he ate it. He ate the one he thought was delicious. He ate the first one. He said, "Oh, I'll use the second one. I have a beautiful one upstairs." It turned out he didn't have the other one. He didn't have the other one wherever it was. He lost it, so he only had one. So what happened? We only had one. So then he was stuck. So he knew that he had to make the bracha. So it was kosher, definitely kosher, but only b'diavad. He definitely wouldn't do that lechatchila. So we see over here. And even though it's not whole, it's still going to be kosher, and because it's beautiful. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Chanina kashi masdisin. According to Rabbi Chanina, our Mishnah is difficult. Our Mishnah tells us a chaser esrog is possible. How could he eat part of it and be yotze? That's why I was going to mention that this depends on which day we're discussing. So the Gemara says no. Bishla masdisin Rabbi Chanina kashi. Rabbi Chanina, I understand according to the Mishnah, is not a problem because it's chaser that it's missing something. It's can't be out the rishon. When is something missing? His problem is on the first day because we learn out the drasha of lekicha tama. It has to be complete. Complete teaches us as a psul del raisa to have anything that is going to be. Chaser. However, from day two and on, that's the machlokas we had in Rishonim. Does day two apply? Even the chutzarts were machmir, assume day two and chutzarts is like day one. But in Eretz Yisrael, from day two and onward, it's only dinder abanan. So then, kan biyom toshini from day two and onward, that is only a dinder abanan, and the kichatama doesn't apply. The din of chaser doesn't apply. That and only the din of hidr. That din is still parallel. The din of hidr we're going to keep, and that's going to apply. El Rav Kasha. That's the question. That's the question of Rav now. That according to Rav, why are you allowed to use an esrog that's lacking beauty? According to Rav, that it's lacking beauty. It's in zahadar. That's a problem. That's we're asking an explanation of Rav. If you assume there's a problem of chaser, then you're allowed to use it. However, you hold it's a problem of fundamentally of hidr. Then it's not allowed to be used even on day two. How could Rabbi Chanina use his esrog that he ate? So the Gemara says, "Amad l'charav." Rav will answer to you, "Shani ach barim demi ise." Mice are different because they're actually disgusting. If you see them, like a mice ate your food, that's the most disgusting thing. People want to touch it. So therefore, it is a problem. In a chanami, it's a problem of being hadar, and therefore it's lacking beauty, and that's what's going to make it possible. I'm going to point out if you actually cut off the part that with the teeth marks and just make it chaser, then if you have more than a rove, then it's going to in a chanami that would be kasher. So that was how Rashi explains it. Other Rishonim seem to assume that there would be a problem, not just of chaser, but also not just of hidder, but also relevant chaser from day one and onward. How they read the Gemara is a whole shaila, but that's a the way Rashi reads the Gemara. Now the Gemara continues, Ika to Ami, there are those who say that there was just a little bit differently what happened with Rav. Amar Rav, Rav just said, Zeh Hadar, that this one is still considered beautiful. It wasn't a question of Rav, just the way it was formulated, is that Rav just said, that we see from Rabbi Chanina that this must have been considered beautiful. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina, Kasha Masnissin, and that, they asked the question, the Mishnah is difficult, that it seems to be Chaser, and Chaser is a problem, and to which the Gemara just answers, so Kasha, come to Yom Tov Shini, on the first day, it's fundamentally going to be a problem because you have the problem of chaser, whereas day two and onward, having a missing part of your esrog, as long as you have a rov esrog and a paskin, you still need a rov, that would be kasher from day two and onward. Okay, now we're up to the next part of the Mishnah. Mishnah told an esrog katan, if it's a small esrog, so Rabbi Meir said, I think it was an egos, right, a walnut, and Rabbi Yehuda said it has to be a beitza. So Gemara says, Amar Rav from a papap, kamachlos and kan, just like the machlokas with regards to the shear of what is the shear of the minimum shear of an esrog, is kach machlokas ba'avanim merkuluzel. This is the same halacha with regards to using those stones, these sharp stones that people used to use as wiping. They didn't use toilet paper like we have. They used to use hard stones, which I can't imagine how that was. Probably very painful, but either way, that's what they used to use to wipe themselves. So normally a stone is muktzah. However, for the din, the rabbanon of being muktzah, they were makel b'tzad covered up rios, that a person's allowed to use stones. The machlokas of how big the stones are allowed to be when you're bringing them into the bathroom is the same shear. They have nothing to do with each other as to why they chose the shear, that here is hider and here is not hider with regards to kibetzah versus the size of a walnut. That's nothing to do with why. That's what the Rashi really points that out, the Rishonim pointed out. But this pashut, that it's just, we're just meant to remember it. That's why we're mentioning it over here, that they have the same shear, the same size. The son of Zoran the Braisa, B'Shabbos, on Shabbos, Shlosh Avonim Erkozlos Mutal Lachlis L'Vizakiza. You're permitted to take three of these stones into the bathroom. Bekama Shiron, and how much is the shear? Rabbi Meir says, Ke'egos. Rabbi Meir says, it's egos, a walnut. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ke'beitza. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's a beitza. So it's just the same shear again. Nothing to do with actually why they say it, that they're just both holding there. What's the shear of covered abrios there? And then they are talking about what's the size of hider. Just they happen to have the same machlokas of a shear. So remember the two machloksim, we're just mentioning that they're the same. With regards to a large esrog, has to be the maximum shear can be that one holder with the two hands. That's Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi says, even if it's bigger than that, it's going to be kosher. And where's this Tanya? Amar Rabbi Yossi wanted to bring a proof. Meister Bekiva, the Rabbi Kiva. That what happened with Rabbi Kiva? Shabbala Besaknezav Esrog Al Ksefel. He came into the shul and he had the Esrog on his shoulder. Moshe asked, what do you mean? How would he hold his Esrog on his shoulder? That's, even if it was huge, we were saying that because it was so tall, but that's a proper way to hold an Esrog. So Rabbi Moshe says, maybe it just means that it was so big, like someone would have had to carry on the shoulder, but he wasn't holding on the shoulder. Or he says, no, that's the Pshuto Kumara. It sounds like, yeah, he would hold it on his shoulder for whatever reason. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda says, so it was massive. So we see there's no minimum shear, no maximum shear rather. So Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Yossi, "Mishan, right? That's not a proof. This isn't beautiful, and that's going to be a problem. It's going to be, I mean, and therefore it's still going to be an issue. L'chora, the problem we have over here that we explained to Rabbi Yehuda, the whole problem of a large esrog was that you're going to come to drop it when you're moving from right hand to left hand. One, the world does have to do with the fact that it's not beautiful. So Rashi already addressed this question. He was bothered by this. So Rashi says that. That even though Rabbi Yehuda had a different reason, he's saying for your shita, that you hold that a bigger one is going to be kosher for Rabbi Akiva, that's not a raya because they told him that that's puzzle. So for a different reason, correct, they hold it puzzle, but still, even you shouldn't hold that it's kosher because Rabbi Akiva himself, the Chacham disagreed with him. That's what we're bringing a raya for, but not the reason of Hidr. Now we're up to the next Mishnah. Ain gonas a lulav ela b'mina. We only bind the lulav with its own kind, with the actual lulav, hadasim, or aravas. Before, those are the three things you could use. Or potatoes a shayla. Can you use an esrog also to bind it around? But you have to use the min. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, that's the chora, an esrog should be fine. Also, the chorim hak about it, the chora should be fine. And there, that's Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Omer, afilo b'chut meshicha. Rabbi Yehuda says even type of a linen thread is going to be kosher, meaning it doesn't have to be from the same material as the dal. Meaning, I'm Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says this ma'aseh v'anshe Yerushalayim, happy with the people of Yerushalayim. Shayu, who wants to bring, Rabbi Meir wants to bring a proof for shita. Shayu ogden es luvan b'big moshalzav. They used to use a golden string to wrap it around with their lulavim. So clearly, it wasn't a problem of bal tosif, as the reason that Rabbi Yehuda is going to mention. I'm Rabbi Lo, the Rabbanan response, Rabbi Meir. B'mino ayu ogden es luvan. No, that they would bind it only. That they would bind it only with its type below. That's the ikar wrapping is where your ikar binding is on the bottom to fill the mitzvah properly. They would just bind it on the top as to beautify the mitzvah. Zekeh Rebbeinu to beautify the mitzvah, and that wasn't an issue of having it. So the Gemara says Amar Rava afilu b'siv. Rava says that you're allowed to bind the luva even with the ivy part. It's like the more brownish the trunk of the tree. That's the more brownish part. That's also going to be kosher, even though it's not the part you use as a lula, but it's from the same min. It's going to be kosher. Afilu b'ikar d'ikla, also similar to the trunk of the palm tree. That's also going to be kosher from the bark of the trunk of the palm tree. Both those areas are kosher, even though you want to use it a lulav, it's part of the same min, and that's not an issue. The Amar Rabba says, "My time to, so why is Rabbi Yehuda machmir? Because of lulav. Tzarech Chayeg, he holds that lulav requires bundling meikar at din, and if you don't, you're not yotze the mitzvah. So then it follows, if you're not yotze the mitzvah that way, so then imaisim minach rina v'chamishim minach, because it's fundamentally part of creating the mitzvah. It's the chalos mitzvah is binding it together. So the chalos mitzvah is binding it together. It has to be done with the min minim that you're binding together. And if I use another min, if I bind it again with another min, I'm going to have five minim, and that's Baal Tosif. So I'm over this or Baal Tosif. That's why it has to be from the same min. As we mentioned, we're machmer lechachila for this shita, and that's why we have to use only the osa min. So the Gemara says, "Valmer Rava mina mina las." From where do I know that this is the case? The siva yikar the dikla mina the lulavu, that the ivy and the bark and palm tree are going to be the same kind as the lulav. The sign we learn in a price. So basukos teshu, you should sit in the sukkah. Sukkah shall kol davar. The sukkah made of anything. That's the drasha that we're going to have right now. So the Gemara says, "Dibre Meir." That's Rav Meir's understanding. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Omer ain sukkah noigal elav ba'arba minim shabalulav. The sukkah is only going to be the halacha with regards to the dalad minim and the mitzvah lulav. V'adinosin and the chora kal v'chomer would prove this. Uma lulav she'ein noeg b'leilos k'v'yamim. If even a lulav, which doesn't apply by net, it does by day, ain't noeg al bar minim, so you can only use dal minim. Sukkah she'ein noeg b'leilos k'v'yamim, that a sukkah that applies by night and by day, so it's more m'chomer. You all 7 days, you get a mitzvah d'oraisa for every second that you're in the sukkah, so that it applies all the time. Ain't noeg b'leilos k'v'yamim, minim, but it's more m'chomer. It's by night and by day, so the chora kal v'chomer should be, you should only be to use the dalad minim, the dalad minim for your schach. So the Gemara says, Amru lo, kol din any kavah chomer that you're trying to bring, where the original part is going to lead to a chomer haver and a sofal hakbir, you're going to come to a big kula, and then that's not a valid kavah chomer. So the Gemara says, what exactly was the big kula over here? Because of lo matza arba minim, if you don't find the dalad minim, you don't find the dalad minim, then what's going to happen according to Rabbi Yehuda? Then you don't have to make a sukkah. Yosh Yoshabatel, that's a kula. The Torah tells you to sit in sukkah for 7 days. Sukkah shall kol davar. Any sukkah that's made of anything, yet your kavah chomer is teaching you not to sit in this type of sukkah, rather that you should be so that you should be avoiding doing anything because you're not yotze the mitzvah. So that can't be. Therefore, your kavah chomer is not valid. So we'll pick up v'chein be'ezra omer, be'ezra shem, the hemshech of the chachamim's continuation on Rabbi Yehuda, be'ezra shem, and tomorrow's daf.